Greetings. On behalf of the St. John's United Methodist Church family, I want you to get ready to have life spoken into you. These messages that you're going to hear by audio or video are carefully crafted that they might feed your faith and starve your doubts. We pray that God will make you stronger and will prepare you for the destiny that He's called you to live into, not only in the week to come, but in the rest of your life through how God speaks to us through His text and through these servants. We treat it with precious honor that we are gifted and given the opportunity to feed your faith. And so now, get ready, receive, and know that God has a word for you.
Please stand for the reading of our scripture. Today's passage is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 22. We're reading from the New International Version, and we begin with, "When the Word became flesh." In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." And now we read about when John the Baptist denies being the Messiah. "Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, 'I am not the Messiah.' They asked him, 'Then who are you? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not.' 'Are you the prophet?' He answered, 'No.' Finally, they said, 'Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
You may be seated. It is more than appropriate that we take a moment and thank those, not only our mentors, who walked with those young persons through the process of confirmation, but with special thanks, we thank Emma, who has taken up the banter and has done Lion's work for us. Let's give God thanks for Emma and for those who are mentors who served in the confirmation training process. Let's do that now. Would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, O God, as well as all of ours, be acceptable in thine sight, for you are our strength and redeemer. It is in your name we pray, God's people said. One of the ushers came and saw me walk in with some expedient fashion, saw a serious look on my face and said, "What is going on with you today?" And I said, "I have something to say." As we conclude our series today, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit has been talking to me. And I have something I want to relay to you from the mouth of God. It is more appropriate than we can ever think of that we would, on this day of transformation, for those who are the youngest formal members of our family, talk about what happens after resurrection. Remember, this whole story of the Easter series and service does not matter if something doesn't happen after. Now, what's even more interesting is this whole conversation and image of exchange, which we have been centered around, does not fully take its vetting with us unless we understand that something has to happen as the precursor to that which happens actual, which then takes place in the foreground. Last week we ended our journey to making the exchange, so to speak, in John chapter 20. John chapter 20, the resurrection story, where we saw Jesus no longer was in the tomb, and we discovered the grace of his promise among us. But none of that matters if the precursor, the promise, does not take place. And in this context, we end our series with what really is the true beginning. The Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. John chapter 1. And today I want to talk to you in this final segment of this series about the Lord's layaway plan. The Lord's layaway plan. Last week, as we started the journey towards seeing the resurrected Christ, we understood and discovered that it was because of his wanting to come to us, his desire to see us, and his passion for our destiny that Jesus came. What we fail often to remember is that there was a promise made before the purpose was manifested. I want to say that again. That there was a promise made before the purpose of Christ's coming was manifested. When God works, God always provides a promise before the manifestation of a purpose. It's how God does it. God wants to prove God's self to us by sharing with us that we must have faith that the promise that God has laid on us and in us will be manifested through his action and purpose. But even before we become partakers of the purpose, we must believe in the promise. Yes, I wrote that, and it took me a long time to figure that out. But more important than the writing is what God's wonder is in this text. And John chapter 1 gives that to us. After the resurrection, remember, I keep saying that, after the resurrection of the righteous one, what remained for those who wanted to believe, for the redeemed, was the rich opportunity to reclaim their inheritance through God's divine salvation that allows for our full and complete redemption. So John, the writer, John, the one who is loved of God, lays out for all of God's creation what I like to call a layaway plan that provides a process for everyone who believes in confessional ways, the purchase that our Savior paid for himself. I want to say this, and I want to be very clear with you as your pastor and your elder. The only way you have affordability to claim the promise is by a confession that you believe the promise is real. In the 21st century, more than ever, the church is going to have to proclaim the truth of a promise that is under more scrutiny now than ever. It's with this that we see in the text. Jesus is told to us in this context. Listen, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came to witness to testify concerning that light. He was not that light, but he himself came only as a witness to that light. Verse 7, verse 9. The true light that gave light to everyone was coming into the world, and he was in the world, and though he was in the world, made through him, the world did not recognize him. The world did not recognize him. The world did not recognize him. think it not strange that the church is such a struggle for so many, because the world has a trouble recognizing a promise before the purpose comes to pass. Verse 11, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Oh, doesn't that make sense? He came to his own and his own didn't receive him. Think it not strange when you come home and the dog doesn't even say hello. Even Jesus couldn't get recognized in Jerusalem. Verse 13, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of heaven's will. Joyce, you read it better than I did, but of born of God. Here's verse 14. It is one of the center points of my faith. The word became flesh and made its dwelling among us. Please allow this King James Version reader to say it in his own way. And we beheld the wonder, the splendor of his glory, full of grace and truth. Sometimes beholding the wonder and splendor of God is an excruciating experience, isn't it? Seems like Jesus takes forever. Especially when you are in need of something. Layaway. It is the purchasing method that allows a consumer to put a product on hold by placing a deposit on the item. The Investor Almanac, known as Investopedia, says that layaway allows the consumer, the customer, to make smaller payments on the product until the purchase is paid in full, rather than paying the item with credit and adding interest to the item. Layaway. Layaway is back to stay, in case you haven't figured that out. Layaway is one of those gifts of capitalism that just doesn't seem to want to go away. In fact, the number one retailer in all of the corporate market known as Walmart has mastered itself in layaway. Regardless to whether you know it or not, Walmart is the number one layaway station in the world. During holidays, it has a policy that's 3 pages long. I looked it up, and here's what they say. Here's how it works. There's no opening fee required for a layaway. All you need to do is make a small payment down of $10 or 10%. Watch this. Whichever is greater. Individual items that are on layaway must cost more than $10, and the total purchase must be greater than $50. You can make payments anytime online or at register in the store. That's convenience for you. You can even get text messages to update your status of layaway. Oh, and cancellations. If your layaway account is canceled, if somehow you don't pay on time, any down payment and payments made will be refunded minus a $10 cancellation fee. Walmart has it down, and to their credit, according to Infopedia, they have capitalized on over 61% of the total amount of layaways currently in the United States. They figured out that people need time to pay for stuff. They just do. And to this end, isn't it interesting to note in John chapter 1 that the one whom Jesus loves is foretelling of the process of payment that would come over time for those who are believers. To lay away the love of Jesus in a way that would live in legacy forever. I want to say something strong and bold here, but it is good for us to note. It came to me as God's revelation to us through the text. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Just because it dwells among us doesn't mean it divinely reveals itself immediately to us. The resurrection story happens over 3 days in part to help us understand that time is required to trust Jesus. Let me say that again. Time is required to trust Jesus. Let me say that once more. Somebody may be asleep. Wake them up and get this, and then they can go back to sleep. Time is required to trust Jesus. And the more you want to trust, the more time is required. The text tells us that Jesus begins this journey to save the world. And in 20 chapters, in the last 3.5 years of his life, give or take a few months, what we discover is over the last 3.5 years of his life, those 12 disciples had to spend each and every day learning to develop a level of trust that would become greater and stronger and better, because the process of God's purpose always is first denounced with a promise that must be played out in the process of painstaking trust. I see I have your attention, so let me tell you about God's form of layaway. Because God's layaway is different than Walmart's. Thank God for that. And here are the 5 components to how that happens. First, God's layaways require contract. That contract be established. First, God's process of layaway requires that contract is established. Number 2, God's layaway remains on the shelf until they are paid for. Whatever your product is, whatever your need is, it's going to remain on the shelf, so to speak, until it's paid for. Number 3, God's layaways leave the purchaser with time to handle the task. That is the payment process task. Number 4, God's layaways allow the receiver to claim a promise from the one who is the provider or the giver. And number 5, God's layaways release the gift without a requirement to rehearse the terms of the purchase to others. That's important. I'll get to that in a moment. Let me go back to number 1. Because God, when he starts the process of giving us the layaway, which is his loving grace and his eternal mercy, his salvation that we can trust in forever, he does require a contract. Verse 1 and 2, here's what it says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, he was in the beginning. God was in the beginning. Please don't get caught up on the gender aspect of the Creator. If you get caught up there, you've already lost the purchase. Because if you get caught up on what God is as opposed to what God is for you personally, it won't matter who God is. But here's the richness of the text. The richness of the text says, in the beginning was the Word, or the promise, or God. God started the contract because God wanted to have a relationship with us. And what I want to say to those of you who want to have this kind of process where you can trust in his loving grace and his salvific work is that you've got to begin with the promise embedded in your heart. There's no way around this. There's no way to escape this. And somehow we have gotten to the place where we want to alleviate people from making the promise of a contract in their hearts. Listen, friends, you can't get away from having a relationship with God. And if you don't have trust in God, you don't have relationship with God. And if you don't have relationship with God, there's no way you can get the purchase of salvation from God. There's a process that has to happen, and you've got to have some skin in the game. Is that uncomfortable for some? Yes. Does it mean that somehow I might be wrong? I don't think so. That's your faith to believe. But for those of you who want to have that out clause, that somehow confessing solely in Jesus Christ is somehow so skewed in, so limiting, that somehow you might be not inviting of other traditions and faiths, well, then that's up to you. But here's what the text says. The Christ that we served is the one that died. The Christ that we serve is the one that rose. And the Christ that we serve is the one that's coming again. He is the Word, the Lord, the Savior, the truth, the righteousness. He is all in all, and in Christ and Christ alone is salvation. It requires a contract. As I said to Grace, and I'll say to them at the second service, if you must confess in your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you must confess in your heart that he alone was raised from the dead, and in that process alone, shall you be saved? Number 2, God's layaway. I don't know about other layaway processes, but God's layaway, when they are layaways, when you ask for God's grace and truth and mercy and trust and confidence and care, whatever the aspect of Christ you need in your life, even the full relationship with Christ in your loving care every day, whatever that is, When you put that on layaway, when you make a promise to God, when you begin the contract as God begins the contract with you as he did there on Easter Sunday when he gave you salvation, that promise fully must remain on the shelf until it is paid for. Troy, how could that be if Christ has already risen? The theology doesn't make sense. Look at verse 5 if you'll be very careful about this. It says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I told you patience is excruciatingly painful, and it is because the full development of understanding how God has revealed his promise to you does not come immediately. You will spend your lifetime trying to figure that out. Walter Brueggemann in his text, the Old Testament of the Christ, says this, that the darkness in this John 1 chapter image is a shadowing of Isaiah, what he says in chapter 6 of Isaiah, where he talks about the issue of darkness and how darkness is really the development room, the darkening room, the dark room that he takes the photograph, which is our life, and over time spends the process of developing it for our faith so that we can grow in trust and grace and mercy all the more. And let me tell you, at age 49, I'm having more than ever to go in the dark room and watch God develop my faith. Because the trust of God requires great travail. It requires great travail. But a treasure is only worth it when you truly have to spend time digging for it. Number three, God's layaways leave the purchaser with time to handle the task. My friend Dr. David Morrow on Wednesday sent me a text message, and I'm grateful for it. He reminded me of the process of time. The sixth president of Morehouse College said it this way. I am only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it, forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. I don't have control over many things, but the one thing I do have control over is the time I invest in trusting in God. And to this end, friend, when we see in verses 11 and 12, even verse 13, this process that Jesus takes John through, where he has to cry out about the one who he confesses and witness that he is not that light, but he is sent to talk and bear fruit and witness to that light. When Jesus and John have this conversation in the myriad of the mystery known as this relationship of faith, what we see is this, that John, in essence, is paying off over time the promise that he has been laid to by his trust in Christ and witness of the faith. You ever seen somebody who really wanted something off a layaway? You ever met somebody who really is looking forward to getting it off a layaway? My daughter's not here, so I'll tell her story. Taylor, one time when she was 8 years old, had something on layaway because she just had to have it, and Dad wasn't paying for it. She spent $6.18 on a toy that she wanted. I think it was one of those Disney things. And for 3 months, she saved her $1.64 because she always had to have candy out of her $2 to pay it off over time. And every week she talked about it. And every week she asked, are we going to the store to pay off the layaway? And every week she paid about it. And every week she talked about it. And every week she paid about it. And every week she talked about it. You see, when something is that treasured to you, you will talk about it and you will pay for it. You will talk about it and you will pay for it. You will talk about it and you will pay for it. And the witness of Christ ought to be more worth anything to those who are believers. And as such, you will talk about it and you will pay for it. You will pay for it in your prayers and you'll talk about it to others. You will pay for it in your worship and you'll talk about it in the community. You will pay for it in your grace, and you will talk about it to those who need to see Christ. Because when you know the treasure of Christ is your all in all, you are not ashamed of the fact that while you may not have him fully in your heart yet, you are working over it in time and grace, and you are willing to pay for it because you don't care what other people think about the treasure that you have. Number four. God's layaway allows the receiver to claim a promise from the one who is the provider. The whole point of the layaway is to guarantee and promise the purchase I'm going to make. Verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, and grace and truth came through Christ. No one has ever seen, verse 18, God, but the only and one and only Son, who is himself God, is the closest relationship we have to the Father. Friends, God's layaway gives us the claim that he will never leave us or forsake us. That God is God and Jesus is Lord. And in that truth, while we may need the provision, God is the provider who will always provide. Finally, the Lord's layaway plan allows us to know that God releases the gift without a requirement to rehearse the terms of the purchase. Here's the difference between human layaway and God's layaway. We don't have to keep paying for it. And the richness of our righteousness is this, that it's been freely given. And all we have to do is freely receive it. And if we could ever, as a people of faith, get past our fear about the fact that our Father wants to give us the whole inheritance of faith, we would see ourselves much further than we ever could imagine. You know what's keeping us away from having the fullness of grace and the increase of the church in the world and all the other things that we can claim? It's not the strength of the tradition that we live in. It's not the structure that we need. It's not all that stuff that we talk about in meetings and other places. You know, it's not the stuff we wear on our chest or even here on our lapel. It's not the stuff that we it's not the stuff. What keeps us from that is our own inability to submit to holding on to the promise. Here's the good news. The Lord is still on the shelf. And the Lord is still our King. And the Lord, who they tried to bury, is still on sale. And this day, if you will confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and spend your life trusting in him where you can't even trace him, the layaway of the Lord will grant you the desires of your heart. Let us pray. God, with distractions abounding, we still have a clear ear to hear your voice. Thank you for speaking your word with cold clarity of grace. Give us in our hearts the means to reclaim the claim check that is the Christ, that we might live for the future of these days. For this and more we pray. In Christ's name, God's people said, amen.